But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with J.D. Vance's need for media attention. Move on to how Republicans tried to reduce the number of eligible voters right before November. And follow all of that up with an update to our ongoing docuseries. Why are Republicans obsessed with making women have babies? Let's begin, shall we? By now, we are all aware of the bullshit that is going down in Springfield, Ohio. Haitian immigrants that relocated because of employment opportunities only make up about 2% of Springfield's population, and yet they are integral to the city's recent economic boom thanks to being very good workers and helping out with the local economy. And that is according to Ohio's current governor, Mike DeWine. But that doesn't look very good for the pastiest residents of the town, so they started complaining that Haitians had taken their jobs. And when that tired trope didn't work, they started accusing Haitians of stealing their pets for dinner recipes. A lie that was created by a maggot white woman living in Springfield named Anna Kilgore, who lost her cat and then blamed Haitian neighbors on a post online, only to find that her pet is alive and well in her basement just 3 days after the accusation. But that didn't stop the white supremacist duo from repeating that lie over and over again at debates, at rallies, and during interviews broadcast on national television, which resulted in impotent rage-filled maggots calling bomb threats to Springfield's city hall, local hospitals, and several elementary schools. And for what, J.D. Worthless?
The American media totally ignored this stuff until Donald Trump and I started talking about cat memes. If I have to,
create stories
so that the American media actually pays attention to the suffering of the American people, then that's what I'm going to do, Dana, because you guys are completely letting Kamala Harris coast.
You just said that this is a story that you created. So the eating dogs and cats thing is not accurate, Dana,
it comes from firsthand accounts from my constituents. I say that we're creating a story, meaning we're creating the American media focusing on it. I didn't create 20,000 illegal migrants coming into Springfield thanks to Kamala Harris's policies. Her policies did that, but yes, we created the actual focus that allowed the American media to talk about this story and the suffering caused by Kamala Harris's policies.
And when someone tells you that they made up a story to get media attention because they felt ignored after the country erupted in happiness with the announcement that Kamala Harris would soon be running for president. Believe that person. The lying orange and his smoky-eyed sidekick spread this racist and baseless lie about Haitian immigrants who have economically saved Springfield, not only for media attention, but also for political purposes.
An example of what Kamala Harris's open border, what she wants to do to every small town and big city in this country, which is over the last few years, 20,000 migrants, primarily from Haiti, have been dropped into Springfield, Ohio.
Maybe Springfield, maybe Aurora, maybe both. We'll go there. I can say this. We will do large deportations from Springfield, Ohio. Large deportations. We're going to get these people out. We're bringing them back to Venezuela. You know, he told Biden he's not accepting anybody back. They moved all their criminals, not all of them, but the rest are moving in now.
What in the failed high school geography are these two examples of why not to inbreed talking about? Ohio's favorite couch potato cannot articulate the word Haiti. You know, the country where Haitians come from. And old man Donald thinks he's sending Haitians back to a South American country where they're not from. And all because they're black, they're brown, they're all the N-word, in their opinion, of course. But hey, don't take my word for it. Here is Rich Lowry, the editor-in-chief for the National Review, a conservative magazine that has been in print since 1955, to say the thing cracker-ass crackers say when they are a guest on Megyn Kelly's podcast.
You remember Alternative Facts with Kellyanne? They did the same thing. She wasn't saying you make up fictions and pretend they're facts. You bring other facts to bear in the debate that are being ignored. And that's what he was saying. And I loved, I think it was in that interview where Dana Bash says, you know, the police have gone through 11 months of recordings of calls, and they've only found two Springfield residents calling to complain about Haitian migrants taking geese from ponds.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you heard that white man correctly, with the hard R. Rich Lowry, editor-in-chief for the National Review, just said the N-word when talking about Haitian immigrants in Springfield. Because that's what Confederates like Lowry think about Black people, regardless of where they came from, if we're going to be honest. And speaking of honesty, Minnesota Governor of Big Dad Energy and Vice Presidential hopeful Tim Walz brought up a good point about Vladimir Futon lying about Haitians in Springfield for media attention.
Donald Trump's running mate, Senator Vance, did a really remarkable thing. He got called out by a fair and free press that are a part of our democracy and fundamental to the freedoms of this country. He got called out by that press about telling vicious, hurtful lies about immigrants. He did something. He told the truth. They asked him if maybe it was an accident or he didn't mean it. No, he said, I admit it. I'm willing to create stories to spread fear to drum up support for us. Now, at least they admitted it. So you got to ask, what other things are they making up stories about? I think you know. The reason you do that is because if you told what you really stood for, no one would vote for you.
And that's why we call Tim America's dad, because a good father knows that liars are always trying to cover up their true intentions. Mascara Vance can't say out loud that he and people like the editor for the National Review, Rich Lowry, just don't like a bunch of N-words living in Springfield, doing a better job than the white maggots who live in the town. And so they have made up a lie about pets being eaten by the immigrants, all based on an old lady forgetting that she locked her cat in the basement. And they do this because if they told the truth, no one would vote for them. Kind of like how House Republicans lied about a bill that they wrote and tried to sneak it in with a congressional budget vote because they couldn't get it passed any other way. See, right before the federal government is about to shut down, they have to have a vote to keep things running, at least for a little bit longer. And just a few days ago, Republicans tried with this whole vote on a budget to keep the government open, but this time they added something they made up called the SAVE Act to the budget, hoping to get some voter rights revoked while handling the country's finances. Now, this sussy bullshit did not work because Dems and some Republicans joined forces to vote down this bill that would revoke the rights of millions of American citizens just for the sake of funding the government. And if you ask the littlest Johnson speaking for the House, he'll say Dems voted down this budget bill and the SAVE Act because they want to make sure that illegals are allowed to vote.
The play that we ran tonight was the right play. We have two very important objectives right now. Congress has an obligation to fund the government, and Congress has an obligation to ensure that our elections are secure and fair and free. And this vote tonight would have accomplished both. I'm very disappointed that it didn't pass. I want to note that every Democrat except three went on record once again for the second time voting against election security. What the SAVE Act would have accomplished, as everyone knows, is to ensure that illegals and non-citizens cannot vote in the upcoming election. Right now, we have no mechanism for the states to require proof of citizenship before they register to vote. And so now we go back to the playbook, we'll draw up another play, and we'll come up with a solution. I'm disappointed. I know this was the right thing to do.
Aw, the tiniest Johnson to ever be speaker is disappointed that his revoking voter rights bill was rejected by House Republicans. and Democrats. So now he's trying to make it seem like Democrats want illegal immigrants to vote, which is not a thing for those of you in the back, because thanks to the Big Lebowski crying for nearly a decade over losing elections that he couldn't steal, MAGA politicians have been intensely looking into voter registration on the state level. And you know what they found? Zero non-citizens are voting in national and state elections. And that's because it is already illegal for non-citizens to vote in national and state elections. Oh, and let's not forget, a state and or government issued ID is required to register to vote. And you can't get one of those kinds of IDs without already providing your birth certificate to places like the DMV or the U.S. military. And then there's the arrest and deportation if a non-citizen is caught voting, which is a great deterrent so far. It has resulted in zero non-citizens voting in state and federal elections. So if the SAVE Act is not about keeping illegals from voting, then what is it about? Well, here is Ohio's congressman, Greg Landsman, to explain what the SAVE Act actually says and why it should never become a law.
Here are five things to know about the SAVE Act and why it didn't pass. The SAVE Act would make it harder for Americans to vote by requiring proof of citizenship just for voter registration. This would impact millions of us who use regular documents, state-issued IDs, driver's license, to register to vote. If your driver's license doesn't match your birth certificate, like many married women, it could block you from voting altogether. Number three, military IDs, veteran IDs, would not be sufficient to register to vote. This is crazy. Number four, the SAVE Act would force military folks who are deployed abroad to come back home to register in person. Number five, it is already illegal for non-citizens to vote. In fact, there are guardrails already. If you try to vote or register to vote and you're not a citizen, you could be arrested and deported. They're betting the farm on a bill that would make it harder for Americans to vote.
That's right, kiddies. Republicans want to make sure it's harder than ever for an American citizen to vote this November, specifically women who get married, change their names. This is not a target on men. This is specifically a target on women. Just saying. They are trying to say that the SAVE Act is going to be good for the country because it's going to make sure that illegals don't get the right to vote, which they don't have, and they're not doing. But they know this, so they sneak it in with the congressional budget vote, and they got the response they deserved. They did this because the angry orange has been obsessively watching his numbers fall in the polls and knows he cannot win this election if every potential voter is registered. So the maggot incels in Capitol Hill pulled this stunt and failed spectacularly, I might add, which led to the adults in Congress deciding to take over this whole congressional budget problem Flaccid Johnson created. Or as Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer explained to Congress.
It's time the Speaker moves on. Sadly, time is not a luxury that Congress has right now. Today is September 19th. The government shutdown is September 30th. That's 11 days away. And instead of doing the bipartisan work everyone knows is required for avoiding a shutdown, the House Republican leadership has wasted two weeks, listening to Donald Trump's ridiculous claims on the campaign trail. Now that their efforts have failed, House Republicans don't seem to have any plan for actually keeping the government open. So the Senate will step in. Later today, I'll file cloture on a legislative vehicle that will enable us to prevent a Trump shutdown in the event that Speaker Johnson does not work with us in a bipartisan, bicameral manner.
So while Cheeto Lips Johnson and Schittler go back to the drawing board to figure out how to steal the 2024 election, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is going to make sure the government does not shut down. Because that's what your elected officials are supposed to be doing. Not passing a rider bill that couldn't get passed on its own merit because it makes it harder for married women, active military, and veterans to register to vote. This is an election year where all members of the House and quite a bit of the Senate is up for re-election. They need as many votes and potential voters as possible. And ironically, the SAVE Act would make that need impossible to obtain for three reasons. Number one, it makes it harder for married women, active soldiers, and veterans to register to vote. B, it invalidates millions of registered voters' current voting status, leaving them just a month or so to jump through new hoops to get re-registered. And lastly, this very public display of voter disenfranchisement may be the reason why married women, active military, and veterans come out in droves to vote for Kamala Harris this November. Not that they really needed another reason to reject Eric's dad's second time around with all of the insults flying from the right wing suddenly. For example, here is Karen of the Kitchen and Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders' stupid opinion on people who don't give birth to children.
Not only do my kids serve as a permanent reminder of what's important, they also keep me humble. You can walk into a room like this where people cheer when you step onto the stage and you might think for a second that you're kind of special. Then you go home and your kids remind you very quickly you're actually not that big of a deal. And ours are pretty good at it. So my kids keep me humble. Unfortunately, Kamala Harris doesn't have anything keeping her humble. You would think after 4 years of straight failure, she would know a little humility. Unfortunately, she doesn't.
I'm not sure what this spending $30,000 in taxpayer money on a trip to Paris with her friends and then lying about it with a lectern douchebag is slurring about into a microphone, but it does sound like she didn't think this all the way through. First off, it's not a very humble thing to do as a parent to voice your ignorant opinion that people who don't have children aren't humble. But then again, no one ever accused this inbred nepo baby of having self-awareness. Secondly, I take personal offense to this statement because I happen to share my life and my children with a man who has never had kids of his own, and he has become a better father to my children than their actual father. Unlike my children's biological father, my husband spends time with my kids, shares in their joys and their struggles, encourages them with the best Gen X brand of advice on just about anything, and even participates in the tough talks when necessary. And my childless husband is everything the embezzling governor of Arkansas thinks magically happens to people just because they had children of their own. That's just not true. Having children of your own is not the measure of a good parent. And thirdly, there is this nugget of cold hard facts from accomplished actor and childless woman, Tracee Ellis Ross.
The 52-year-old childless woman. I want to say to the people who think that a woman's worth is measured in her baby count, I mean, shout out to all the amazing mothers, but the childless women have been mothering the world and elevating culture as aunties, godmothers, teachers, mentors, sisters, and friends, and the list goes on, and you do not need to push out a baby to help push humanity forward.
And that is speaking truth to power. Childless women have done a fuck lot to push humanity forward. For example, in modern times, Dolly Parton doesn't have children, by the way, and she makes sure that every child who wants a book can have a book. She even mails the book to the child and will give them as many as they ask for. And let's not forget that this woman saved millions of lives when she funded the COVID vaccine into existence. Not to mention that childless women make up 43% of college-educated women and 42% of successful corporate ladder climbers, which is where I think the root of all this women are only as good as the amount of children that they've had mentality comes from. Or, as our future first gentleman, Doug Emhoff, so eloquently explained.
They said that somehow because Cole and Ella aren't Kamala's quote-unquote biological children, that she doesn't have anything in her life to keep her humble. As if keeping women humble, whether you have children or not, is something we should strive for. It is not. Because we know what they're really trying to do. It's Dobbs. It's Project 2025. It's spreading hate and trying to pit women against each other, trying to pit us all against each other. That's what they're trying to do here. But I've got news for him. The women in this country are sick and tired of weak men trying to take away their fundamental rights. And then... and then gaslight you about it. We're sick and tired of it. And the women of this country will never humble themselves before Donald Trump.
And that is the fucking point. Pickmies like Sanders and Laura Loomer are willing to humiliate themselves just for a chance to be the Reich Wing's Donna Reed reboot. Meanwhile, the rest of womanhood is out here fighting for our lives, proving that we can be successful in whatever we do. Incredible actors like Betty White, Helen Mirren, and Lydia Dietz herself, Winona Ryder. Authors like Jane Austen and painters like Frida Kahlo. Women who have contributed to their society during their lives and have and will enrich generations to come, and all without humbling themselves to a man. Which is why this trip that incels on the Reich have with making sure every embryo becomes a real baby is so disturbing. Since Trump's gestures at the bogus SCOTUS overturned Roe and red states unleashed their controlling women's bodies agenda with various types of abortion bans, women's lives have come under attack, specifically Black women.
It's unfortunately no surprise that the first two women known to have died from abortion bans were Black. Even before the Dobbs decision, Black women were the most vulnerable group in terms of pregnancy-related complications and death, facing three times higher mortality rates than white women. When you combine that with the fact that Black women account for the largest percentage of abortion seekers and the fact that Black women are more likely than any other racial group to live in a state with abortion bans, many Black women live in contraceptive deserts, making access to birth control difficult. Black women are also twice as likely to be uninsured compared to white women, making obtaining prescription contraceptives incredibly difficult. On top of that, you have the fact that Black youth are less likely to receive a comprehensive sex education, unequal access to family planning services, and, you know, a general deep-seated mistrust of the healthcare system stemming from centuries of medical racism. A report found that Black college-educated women were far more likely to experience severe complications in pregnancy than white women without high school diplomas.
It doesn't take long for you to realize that it's sussy that Amber Nicole Thurman and Candy Miller, two Black women who lived in Georgia, died because of the state's Trump abortion ban. Candy Miller, who was a 41-year-old woman with a history of life-threatening reasons not to have a child, who became unintentionally pregnant and couldn't get an abortion in Georgia to literally save her life. She died after complications from taking an abortion pill she bought online when her body could not expel all of the fetal tissue because hospitals in Georgia would not help her. Candy Miller's death has been ruled preventable because the law that killed her didn't have to be passed. Amber Nicole Thurman's died because her doctors in Georgia couldn't figure out how to administer a life-saving abortion that she needed without violating the state's law on restricting her access. The doctors waited 20 hours while Amber suffered in a hospital bed before even attempting to perform any kind of surgery, but by then, it was just too late. In Georgia, the mother mortality rate is nearly 24% out of every 100,000 births. So Amber and Candy actually never stood a chance of surviving their complications when a healthy woman will die in droves in the state of Georgia just for giving birth. And that's because abortion bans disproportionately kill more Black women by 3-1 all across the country.
1 in 3 women in America lives in a state with a Trump abortion ban. This includes Georgia and every state in the South except Virginia. Think about that when you also combine that with what we know has been longstanding neglect around an issue like maternal mortality. Think about that when you compound that with what has been longstanding neglect of women in communities with a lack of the adequate resources they need for health care, prenatal, during their pregnancy, postpartum. Think about that. And these hypocrites want to start talking about this is in the best interest of women and children? Well, where you been? Where you been when it comes to taking care of the women and children of America? Where you been?
Well, after reading Project 2025, I can tell you where the right-wing maggots have been. They've been busy writing down all the ways they're going to force women to be barefoot and humble in the kitchen by ending access to abortion medication, because that's how 63% of abortions are carried out. And they want to criminally prosecute people and companies for shipping abortion pills and supplies to patients. Making sure hospitals, especially emergency rooms, do not aid women who are having pregnancy complications that necessitate an abortion until they're literally bleeding out in the parking lot. And even then, there is no guarantee that that woman's going to survive. And lastly, but not least, they want to create a database so they can creep on women who receive abortion care. And not just that, they want to start watching women once they become pregnant. You know, they're even thinking about monitoring school-age girls' periods to figure out if they're becoming pregnant and when and how old, just so they can watch them from afar, just in case. Even if they've traveled out of state to get an abortion because their state has banned the practice, they want to know. Not to mention making access to birth control and emergency contraceptives impossible, because it's about making sure every woman, no matter her age or her pre-existing conditions, becomes pregnant and gives birth, even if it kills them. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. Oh, and don't forget, Sundays at 6 p.m. Ohio time, you can re-listen to this very show on Crowtown Radio. You can follow This Week Again on social media wherever you can find us. And we are always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Tadur for now.